Well, thank you for coming and being with us today as we remember the life of Glenda Lowe. We were all shocked at the sudden departure of Glenda because she seemed to be doing well in the hospital, and we were expecting her to come home, but the Lord had other plans, and He took her unto Himself, and we rejoice for her, but we weep for the loss because she was such a sweet lady and so dear to us, and your presence here today is a testimony to that fact. She leaves behind two sons, Barry and Jay, we call him. The bulletin says James, but nobody would know who that is if we said James. And James' wife, Melanie. And then grandchildren, Nathaniel and his wife, Meredith, who were not able to come from Denver, I believe is where they live, in Colorado. And then McKinley, Lo Hinshaw, and her husband, Daniel, who've just been married for a month now, so they're newlyweds, and we congratulate them. And Madeline, and Micah, and Jedediah, and Avonlea, and in Cali. And one great-grandson, Nathaniel's son, Maxwell. Nearly everyone here today also will remember Carlton, Glenda's husband, who has been a part of this community, a solid part of this community for so many years, and we are glad that she's now able to join her dear husband in heaven after this time of separation. And then also preceded in death by her parents, Eric and Annie Wall, and a brother, Kenneth Wall. We are looking to the Lord to minister to the needs of hearts, for God alone knows every heart. He knows exactly what the needs are, and we commit those needs to Him. So let's look to Him in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You will gather us together and point our thoughts toward eternity. We pray that You will help us to think upon those things which are above and not on the things of this earth. We pray, O Lord, that You will remind us of truth, of eternal truth, of gospel truth. And we pray that Your word will minister to every heart, that will bring joy and gladness to those who are sorrowing, will bring life to those who at this time may be outside of Christ. We commit to You this time and pray that You will take it and use it and empower it to the eternal glory of Christ and to the good of everyone who is gathered here today, as we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll take a hymnal, please, in front of you and turn to page 610. A hymn requested by the family, "A Firm Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord, is Laid for Your Faith in His Excellent Word." We're going to stand and sing stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 6. Page 610, stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 6. Let's stand together as we sing.
Well, it's my privilege to be able to share some personal thoughts from the family and a few personal observations. I can relate to Gwenda perhaps on a little bit different level than a lot of people, because she reminded me of my own mother. And we had several wonderful conversations. And I believe, as I told Barry and Jay, that I believe that the Lord showed a severe mercy to all of us. It's severe because it hurts, but it's a mercy because she did not suffer. My mother's phobia was that she would choke to death. And that was a concern that Glenda shared with me also. Didn't happen in the grace of God. He gently said, "Glenda, come home." And her spirit clothed the immortal, winged its flight to realms of day. Our thoughts and prayers are with Barry and Jay and the family and friends. And yet I believe that all who knew Glenda will be encouraged by some of these thoughts that we're going to share. The first thoughts come from ladies who fellowship with Glenda at the round table in the Welcome Center each Sunday morning. And I'll not give names. I'm just going to share what they shared with me. I will miss her smile and her quiet, "Hey, sugar," as I pass by her in the Welcome Center. When I think of Glenda, I think of her faithfulness to church in spite of feeling bad. She'd say, "Shug, come sit beside me." Glenda was a very dear friend to me and my husband. She gave me such insights into the Lord and will be greatly missed. Glenda was always appreciative of those who offered to help her. She was so proud of her grandchildren. Glenda loved people. She was such a sweet, loving lady. She thought the world of her grandchildren and carried on about them. Glenda was so kind. She always called me sugar. She was a sweetheart and so concerned about others. When I visited her, she said, "I know that the Lord is in control, that I'm in His hands." And then the grandchildren offered these comments from the youngest to the oldest. Avonlea. Avonlea loved going to visit Mama and playing with her toys and her dress-up clothes. Jedediah loved the fun Christmas gifts that she would give to him. He loved spending the night with her and helping her. She would ride bikes with them out on the cul-de-sac. Of course, Grandma's bike was her motorized scooter. And I do believe it had an automatic transmission and not a four-speed. She would give them Pop-Tarts and popsicles often when they would go see her, things that their mom didn't usually give them. Micah remembers her teaching him to plant flowers, and all the times he was stuck in Belk's with her shopping for hours and hours. When he was younger, he enjoyed spending the night with her and Papa Cardinal. She would always fix him a good breakfast of bacon and eggs and let him watch cartoons. And I think he still likes bacon and eggs and cartoons. Madeline wrote this, "Mama Glenda was no ordinary woman, to say the least. From her constant showing of the love that she had for her family to the worrisome thoughts she always had, you always knew the reason behind everything she did was because she truly cared. I wish I would have realized this earlier on in life, and one of my biggest regrets is that I took her for granted many a time. No matter what it was that I needed, she was always willing to provide and wouldn't give up until she supplied it. She truly taught me how to give with no expectation of anything in return, and for that lesson, I'm eternally grateful. She absolutely loved to go shopping, and any chance she could, she'd be in Belk shopping away. But it was hardly ever for her. Most of the time, she'd come out with loads of things for her grandchildren and others. Yet she never complained and was truly joyous over the fact that she was able to give. Though she was constantly stuck in her house throughout the last years of her life, I never really heard her complain about it, and that was truly commendable. She was content amidst a situation that had driven many people crazy. Among the many things I will miss, I will especially miss calling me at least 5 times a day just to catch up and talk, and also knowing that I could talk to her about anything. She'd just be there for me. I know my God is sovereign, and His will is far better than what we desire to happen in life. So it's hard to trust in His will and ways. I'm thankful to know Mama is no longer suffering with the many health issues she's had over the years. She's now praising our amazing Lord. I cannot wait till the day when we're reunited for eternity. Until then, the memories I have of her will always be cherished. McKinley. Mama Gwenda had one of the most generous hearts I've ever known. She was always wanting us to go buy a new outfit for a special occasion, provide us with a tank of gas, or help out with my college tuition and books. She found joy in taking care of her grandchildren, and for that I'm very grateful. I will never forget her generosity and love towards us, and I hope that I continue to have this generous mindset in my own life. Nathaniel said, my fondest memory of Grandma is seeing her pull up to the school to pick me up in her Lincoln Town car. We would then go to Wendy's to get something to eat, and she'd ask me how my day was. For no other reason, I enjoyed those times because it was just her and me. It was really all about her being there for me, day after day. And I want to share some personal thoughts that revolve around four words. Glenda was tough, talkative, tender, and trusting. She was tough. She would get to church and the Silver Saints every time she could possibly do so, even though she was physically ill. She was talkative in this respect. Glenda was a people person, and people persons communicate with others. She had a winsome personality and a grand sense of humor to the joy of those who knew her. As has been mentioned, she often called folks Shug or Sugar. She called me Brother Latour, but I don't ever remember her adding Shug to the greeting. And that's my loss. More importantly, Glenda was tender. She was a sensitive soul who loved the Lord and her church. She absolutely cherished her family. Every time I talked to her in person or on the phone, she would ask me to pray for her loved ones. Finally, Glenda was trusting. As she struggled to breathe during her stay at ARMC, I shared two texts with her that seemed to strengthen the confidence that she already had in the Lord. Speaking of mankind in general, Job said, his days are determined. The number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. The other text, Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Without question, Glenda's hope was in the Lord. There was no doubt that she entrusted her life and her eternal soul to the watch care of Christ, your Savior. I truly believe that he showed mercy upon this dear lady by taking her as he did. Like others who have been promoted to heaven recently, Glenda will be sorely missed and fondly remembered. At this time, Melanie's going to come and share some personal thoughts about Glenda.
I wanted to share some remembrances about Glenda on behalf of the family, mainly in the earlier years before she was bound to her wheelchair. After she went to be with the Lord on Tuesday, I started reminiscing about the past 28 years that I have known her. I realized that she'd been in a wheelchair for so long that I had forgotten the things that she used to do and who she was before she lost her physical mobility and strength. I want to share some of our memories of her from years ago, so that those of you that have only known her in recent years, especially our Beacon family here, can get a glimpse of the life she lived. Glenda was a wife, mother, and grandmother, and that truly defined her. Those that know her well would probably agree with me that you have never met someone so devoted to their family. They were her world. They were what she lived for. It started with her boys and carried over into her grandchildren. She and Carlton were a dynamic duo when it came to keeping a house. She decorated the interior of the house with much care and attention, and he was a master gardener. Their yard was truly a showcase in those years. She loved her flowers, something that she and I had in common. Even in recent years, when she had a harder time getting around, she wanted flowers planted everywhere in the spring, and we honestly would get aggravated by it. But I'm sure I will be the same way till I die. Flowers just get in your blood. She had a beautiful, deep, alto voice with a sound all its own. She loved to sing, especially singing for the Lord. She sang in the choir at Antioch Baptist Church and Council Road Baptist Church and often sang in trios and quartets. I chose for us to walk in today to Rock of Ages. Well, first, because it's a great, promising hymn of the faith, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. But also because Glenda had a lullaby she sang to all of our babies, and I'm sure to Barry, Jay, and Nathaniel. The words were, bye, baby, baby, bye. I'm not going to sing it for you. I never really knew what that meant, but it was sung to the tune of Rock of Ages. And I feel certain that was a lullaby passed down from her mother and her grandmother. Glenda would host parties and showers and had a talent for doing them with elegance and beauty. She was known for her chicken salad. Every bridal shower, baby shower, and ladies' event we had at our former church put Glenda in charge of making the chicken salad. It really would be interesting to know how many pounds of that stuff she made in her lifetime. Every October until recently, she always hosted a home interior party in her home. In her circles, it was one of the social events of the year. It was her chance to get her home spruced up for fall and a chance to make delicious food, and what a spread it would be. And she would spend that time with her friends. And I know it was an event that I, along with her friends, look forward to every year. She loved to entertain. Jay and Barry remember annual Christmas Eve parties and fish fries that they would host out under their picnic shelter in their yard. Carlton would cook fish in a big cast iron pot over a fire, and Glenda would be making hush puppies inside, unless it was too hot, and she would bring the production outside into the yard. Glenda loved, loved, loved to shop for her grandkids. For years, I never, and I mean never, bought clothes for our kids, because she would buy literally more than they could wear. I thoroughly expect our local Belk store to close soon, because I don't see how they'll stay in business without her as a customer. She would splurge sometimes, but often she would buy for the next season at the clearance prices, and that's a wise practice I have observed and I hope to carry on. Barry said that one thing that stands out to him about his parents was their willingness to take the time to minister to others. They were all the time visiting and carrying food to the sick. Even after Carlton was gone, Glenda carried on a ministry of calling those that were shut in or just lonely. Those that know Glenda well know she was always on that phone. But I have realized this week how many people she stayed in contact with and what an impact it made on them. She loved people and loved to converse with them. She would strike up a conversation with anyone, and by the time it was over, she felt she was their friend. Even her mailman, she called every day to see if he was delivering that day. How many of you call your mailman every day? She did. But he loved her, and he was at the house yesterday in tears because he could not believe she was not going to be there anymore. She never liked to be alone, and I do find great comfort knowing she will not be over there in the house on the hill alone anymore. She's not suffering anymore. She's with her Savior, her husband, her babies that she had miscarried, her parents and her loved ones, and many dear friends that had gone before her. Tuesday evening at the hospital, I was completely overwhelmed at the realization of what a gift God's saving grace is. It is not something Glenda or anyone else can earn on their own. It is just that. It's a gift of God's choosing. I marvel at the grace and mercy of God in saving any of us, and I thank Him for the grace He bestowed on Glenda years ago, which made that great homegoing on Tuesday evening possible. I look forward to seeing her again one day, till we meet again. Our daughter McKinley is coming to play a classical piece that she learned while she was in high school. After she performed it at her recital that year, Mama Glenda quietly asked her if she would play it at her funeral. Thank you.
our hearts have been ministered to in these minutes we've been together. And God intends to minister to our hearts through His Word. I thought of a number of passages and verses from the Psalms that I want to draw your attention to. The first is Psalm 116, verse 15, that says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." That may seem strange to us, that God would view the death of one of His as precious. But let me turn you to another passage that explains why it's precious. And why it's precious is because it is the fulfillment of the longing and the desire of the Lord Jesus. Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth. He'd walked this earth with His disciples. He told them about His departure. They were concerned about the news that He brought to them. And Jesus said to them in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus had a longing that His followers would be with Him. And not just those 12 disciples, but all who follow Him in this life. So precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints, because Glenda is where Jesus has longed for her to be, with Him. I hope that encourages you and comforts your heart. And then a selection of verses from the Psalms. I thought this appropriate, given Glenda's life and how long God allowed her to live on this earth. Psalm 90, verse 14 says, "Oh, satisfy us early with Your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years." By reason of strength. God sustained our sister for 81 plus years on this earth. And then the first passage of Scripture that came to my mind as I thought about Glenda is an imagery that Psalm 91 paints for us of our God, our Father. So as I read these couple of passages, they speak of a hen covering her children with her feathers. And as I think of Glenda, I think that she epitomized a mother's heart. She just had a mothering instinct about her. She wanted to gather her children, her grandchildren around her, love them, care for them, protect them. That's who she was. But our God takes that imagery and applies it to Himself. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation."
shall we pray. Our Father and God, we come to you in the blessed, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging that it's because of Him and Him only, His shed blood and His perfect righteousness, that we have audience with you. And Lord, we come seeking grace to help us in a time of need. Our hearts are grieving, they're sorrowing. And it's the way you have ordained it to be. We read of the Lord Jesus weeping at the death of Lazarus. And those religious people and those around noticed his tears and said, "See how he must have loved him." So we thank you for the language of tears. We thank you for what is communicated by our sorrow. And we thank you, our Father, that you have taken our sister to be with you. And how could we be disappointed about that? That's what we're living our lives for. We're pursuing you. We're running the race you've set before us so that someday we'll be where she is. For indeed, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is not just better, but far better. So thank you for Glenda. Thank you for her life. Thank you for saving her. Thank you for sustaining her and keeping her all these days upon the earth. Thank you for giving her to us. Thank you for the wonderful person she was. So caring, so kind, so warm, so friendly, so encouraging. Lord, you've been good to give her to us. And we thank you for the prospects that all who follow you will be with her where she is. Lord, may you minister to every heart here today according to our needs as you alone know them to be. Lord, some of us have weak faith. Some of us are having difficulty seeing beyond what our five senses are telling us. Our five senses are telling us that her life is over. And yet your word says, really, her life has just continued in a far better place. For the life that she came to know in this life when she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed eternal life. It began here and it has continued. And we rejoice in that. Lord, some are just so overwhelmed by sorrow that they can't receive truth. And yet your Spirit is able to help us, to humble us, to sober us, to open our hearts to receive truth. So, Lord, whatever our need is today, come to us. Come to us in the sweetness of your presence. Cause the word of God to be received today with gladness and with faith, that it might bring great profit to us. And fill us with consolation and hope and knowing that you have loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, the one given, that those who believe upon him might live forever with you. May that be true of everyone in this place today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It was just last Saturday, a week ago, that I received a call at the church from one of our members informing me that Glenda had been taken to the hospital. And so I went by there after lunch and found her in good spirits, and we had a nice conversation. She seemed to be already in recovery mode, and we thought, the antibiotics that were given to her were going to clear up the infection and she would be coming home before long. As I was walking out of the hall, leaving the hospital, who should I meet coming down the hall but my wife Marty, and a different member had called her to tell her that Glenda was in the hospital. And Marty didn't want to disturb me, so she said, well, I'll just go visit her myself. So I had only been gone a few minutes until Marty came in the room, and Glenda said, what? First pastor and then you? Am I dying? And we said, no. Little knowing what would transpire over the next 2 or 3 days. She was dying and didn't realize it. And yet, you know, the truth is, we're all dying. We are all dying. We need to be ready for that day. We need to be sure that when the day of our departure here comes, that we are clinging to Christ and will be in that place where death shall be no more. Well, several things have already been said about Glenda, so I'll just quickly affirm many of these things, which is to say that the Glenda Lowe that I knew and loved was a Glenda who loved her family, her children, her grandchildren, who loved her husband, Carlton. When Glenda and Carlton first began to attend services here, Carlton was already very sick and wasn't able to come very often. And it wasn't long until the Lord took him home. And Glenda then continued to come, and in a real sense, I suppose, her church family became her extended family, and we loved her and ministered to her, but it was often that she spoke about her dearly beloved Carlton and how much she missed him. So the Lord has heard those desires, and she is now in the presence not only of her Savior, but also in the presence of her husband. Glenda loved her friends. That's already been mentioned. She was a friendly person, and she had many friends. The Bible tells us for a person to have friends, he must show himself friendly. And Glenda certainly was the example of that. She loved her church. She made that very clear, and we were very grateful that the Lord had brought her here. But above any of this, and what is most important, was she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was that love for Christ that God had worked within her heart that was the most important part of Glenda and was the reason why all of these other things had substance to them. Her love for family and friends and husband and church was not a superficial love. It was a reflection of the divine love of God within her soul and the work of God's Spirit within her heart that had caused her to love Him who had first loved her. Family has chosen that when we conclude the service today, we're going to sing a hymn by Robert Murray McShane entitled, When This Passing World Is Done. And I decided to use that hymn to guide a few thoughts as we reflect upon the truths of time and eternity, of this life and the life to come, of life that is physical and life that is eternal. Robert Murray McShane was a Scottish pastor. He was born in 1813 and died in 1843 at the age of 30. He didn't live a long life, and yet in those 30 years, he impacted the lives of others in a way that very few of us will do, that very few of us would do if we lived 100 years or 200 years. The Lord really used him. He wrote a number of hymns, and one of them, the one we're going to sing a little bit later today, has 5 stanzas, and it says, when this passing world is done, when has sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. That stanza talks about the day of deliverance. Some would call it the day of death, but I think it's better to call it the day of deliverance. The day when a child of God is delivered from this body of flesh and sin and is brought immediately into the presence of Christ and has been delivered forever from this veil of tears and from this world that even now is under the curse because of sin. It is free from the constraints of a body and indeed a life that is affected by sin and struggles to grasp onto things which are eternal because it is so earthbound in this worldly existence. And yet that day of deliverance will come for every child of God. And when this passing world is done, as it will be for all of us one of these days, when the last sunset that we will ever see has taken place, when yonder sun has sunk for the last time in our lives, then, writes McShane, when I stand with Christ on high, looking over life's history, thinking about my life on earth, thinking about God's working in my life, thinking about the regrets that I have and ways that I should have lived differently and should have loved the Lord more and served the Lord more, and yet knowing that in Christ all those things are washed away, and even the dark spots in my history don't matter in that day, and the bright spots in my history are the ones that pertain to Christ and His working in my life. And that's when I will fully know how much I owe. If God has worked His grace in your heart, you know that now. You know that you owe everything to Him. But we don't sense that as much as we should and as much as we will when we're in His presence. And then, Lord, I shall fully know. But not till then. How much I owe, the day of deliverance. McShane secondly talks about the day of judgment. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see Thee as Thou art, love Thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Dear folks, all of us are going to stand before God someday. It is appointed unto man, the Bible tells us, once to die, and after that, the judgment. And the only difference is, will we stand before God in ourselves, with our tattered efforts of self-righteousness, which are but filthy rags? Will we stand naked before the God with whom we have to do, whose piercing and holy eyes shall look right through us, right through our souls? He who knows us fully and completely and knows every sin that we have committed, will we stand there alone, mumbling and muttering and trying somehow to justify our failure to love God, to serve Him, to keep His commandments? Will we stand there alone, or will we stand there in a righteousness which is not my own? It is Christ's. I read just a day or two ago about a revival service that's going on in Winston-Salem, and how the person who was describing this meeting, they had been to the meeting and were describing it online for others to read, and how the evangelist was emphasizing the fact that every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. The only question is, will we gladly and willingly bow now, or will we stubbornly wait until that day when we're forced to bow? And that makes all the difference in eternity, heaven or hell. Christ's righteousness or my own. Will you bow now? Or will you bow trembling in that day? The day of judgment. McShane III talks about the day of salvation, the day of grace. He says, chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe. Oh, I love that stance. I love them all. Salvation is by grace, not by any good in me. Oh, no, not by good in me. I could not earn 1 minute in heaven by my righteousness. But with the righteousness of Christ, I have a perfect righteousness, the righteousness which God Himself requires. But chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee. We are all in a stupor. We're in a trance. And we push aside thoughts of death and push aside thoughts of eternity and push aside thoughts of accountability before God and push aside thoughts of the wrath to come that we should be aware of and fleeing from. But oh, when God's Spirit comes to our soul and wakens us to these truths, as McShane is talking about here, wakened up from wrath to flee. Thank God for that day when He awakened me to the reality that there is a day of judgment to come. And the only way to escape that judgment is to flee to the cross of Christ. Thank God for that day when I was wakened up from wrath to flee. And when by the Spirit was sanctified, was set apart unto God. McShane weaves together here in his beautiful poem that we sing the picture of the triune Godhead at work in our salvation. Chosen by God the Father, redeemed by Christ the Son, he said, hidden in the Savior's side, regenerated and sanctified by God the Holy Spirit. You know, he talked about being hidden in the Savior's side. There's beautiful imagery that we need to think about. How many times does the Bible talk about being in Christ? In Christ. That's where we need to be. But what does that mean? In Christ. Well, obviously we can't be in Him physically, but by faith, when we trust in Him, God, as it were, takes us and puts us in His Son. So that when Christ died upon the cross 2,000 years ago, those who were Christ's own were in His Son there and therefore died with Christ and in Christ died and paid for the penalty of our sins. And when we are in Christ, then the righteousness which is His is ours. That's a mystery. That's a marvel. That's a wonder. How can it be? How can it be that I, who know myself to be a sinner, can nevertheless in the sight of God be righteous? But that's the way it is in Christ, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe. You see, that's why we try to please Christ. That's why we try to obey His word, to keep His commandments. That's why we attend church. We have a God-given desire to be there, but we're trying to demonstrate to Christ our gratitude. This is why we love others for Christ's sake and help them and serve them. What are we doing? We are working out in our lives the gratitude that we feel so keenly because of this incredible grace that God has poured out upon us. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe. You know, someone who doesn't have that desire to serve Christ must not know this grace of which I speak. For those who know it, those who've been changed by it, have a life that tries to please the Lord by demonstrating their love to Christ in these ways. A day of salvation. McShane talks about a day of difficulty. Oft I walk beneath a cloud, dark as midnight's gloomy shroud. But when fear is at its height, Jesus comes and all is light. Blessed Jesus, bid me show doubting saints how much I owe. Life isn't all sunshine and roses, not even for a child of God, is it? We shouldn't misrepresent our life on earth with Christ in that way. I know as a young boy I used to grow up singing, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And I suppose in one sense it is, but I'll be honest with you, there's some days where I don't have the sense of that. Some days there's gloom and sorrow and difficulty and depression. It happens even to the children of God. But the difference is we have a Savior. That's what McShane says. But when fear is at its height, Jesus comes and all is light. When He's there, there can't be any darkness. Let's put it this way. He's always with us, of course. But when we are aware of His presence, the light comes in and the darkness flees, doesn't it? What a Savior that He died for me and that He loves us in this way. And that's our task on earth, is to show doubting saints how much I owe. Others who are struggling, as we all do at times, we all need to help one another. But, oh Lord, help me, help me. Blessed Jesus, bid me show doubting saints how much I owe, and demonstrate with grateful, loving service the gratitude that I feel. And finally, McShane talks about worship. When the praise of heaven I hear, I haven't heard that yet, but Glenda has. When the praise of heaven I hear, loud as thunders to the ear, loud as many waters' noise, sweet as harp's melodious voice, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Folks, the day's coming when you're going to be in a casket similar to this one. Are you in Christ? Are you trusting Him? Are you living for Him? Are you demonstrating your understanding of the grace which has come to you in Christ and has changed your heart and has cleansed your sins and has given you eternal life? And you do not fear that day, because you will be present with the Lord when you're absent with the body. And if you don't know the realities of which I speak, please ask God to come to you in mercy. Ask Christ to save you. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Cast yourself upon His mercy. Ask Him to give you a heart of gratitude for His love. I close by reading from Revelation chapter 5. Now when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slain and have redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures And the number of them, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Father, teach us these truths. Seal to our hearts that effective work of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, that sinners might be cleansed and given life eternal, we pray. Amen. Take your hymnal. Find 342. We'll sing it in closing. 342. Let's stand together as we sing.